upon the reading of the book of Genesis, chapter 26, verses 12. Genesis 26, 12. And Isaac sowed in that land, received in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. All the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Hamlet said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Isaac departed thence and fixed camp into the valley of Gerith, where there Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He called their names after the name by which his father had called them. Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. 12 through 19, if correctly read, out of the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, they would pray. Dear God, tonight, we pray that you'll form us as you work back and over this building.
Yes.
Remove every satanic, demonic force out of it. Leave nothing but the power of your Holy Spirit on us. We pray that when we walk from these walls tonight, we'll walk with the consciousness we've been where God was.
Yes.
Father, we pray thy blessing upon this church and upon every member of it. We pray thy blessings upon these other precious men of God and their churches that have come to visit with us tonight.
Lord,
thank you for that presence.
Yes.
I pray, God, you give them a special blessing for doing it. And give that church a new strength for doing it. Now, Father, we pray tonight to revive those of us that are saved and save the lost. We pray, God, now that the Holy Spirit shall have control throughout the remaining part of the service. Give us victory over the devil's forces. We'll pray you continually for it because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to think with you tonight on the 18th verse that I read to you all ago out of the 26th chapter of Genesis. And I did dig again the wells of water which they digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And Isaac digged again the wells of water. We have an interesting story and a very meaningful, powerful story connected with this experience of Isaac. He digged again the wells of water. Water is a necessity. Animal life and plant life cannot survive without water. And we here have an interesting story. Isaac has been unusually blessed, and his crops were increased, his cattle increased, and the Philistines became envious of him. They became jealous of him and wanted to get rid of Isaac. So as a result, they set out to fill up the wells. They reasoned within themselves, now, he's got all of his cattle, he's got his family, and he'll have to have a well of water and can't survive. And so we'll just fill up the wells, and they can't get more water, they'll have to move. Isaac was becoming greater than the Philistines. And they were very envious of him and jealous of him. So they didn't want to be mean to him, but they tried to ship him out in an easy way And they reasoned among themselves, if we can get these wells filled up, they can't get no water. They'll have to move out because the bandits will have to have water, and the animals, the cattle and the herds are going to have water, and they're going to have to survive, so we get rid of them. Now, the reason that the Philistines, my friends, was envious of Isaac was because God was blessing Isaac, and he was being increased over in such a way that they just couldn't stand the blessings of God upon him. So they sought out to get rid of him some way, somehow. And that's an interesting thing. You see, people never get envious or jealous of somebody less than they are.
Right.
In other words, you don't see people getting jealous of drunks and harlots and prostitutes and gamblers and tramps. It's always when somebody excels somebody, that's when they begin to get jealous and envious and try to move that person away from them. And that's the case, my friends, that took place right here. And you'll find it all through life, that's always the case. And so when people begin to get envious and jealous, they'll try to do things to get rid of him. To illustrate what I'm trying to say, one time in the middle was a little donkey, and a pack of wolves came by. That pack of wolves said to the donkey, they're not saying, "Mr. Wolves, would you see that big, fine, beautiful, fat horse up there? Big, fine. Run out this meadow for us." The wolf said, "Fine." He said, "Mistreat?" "Oh, no, he don't mistreat. But right now, why? Isn't there never grass for all the meadows full of grass? Can never eat it all. But right now, why? Isn't there never water in the meadow for all the whole single one, see? But right now, isn't there never room for all that sleep in the meadow? Oh, yes! But right now!" Well, if the donkey's not, said to the donkey, if the horse is not mistreating the room for all that sleep, plenty of grass, plenty of water, what do you want to run it out for? Said, because when people travel the road, they see that big, fine, fat horse grazing out there, then they see me. And it shows up on that old ugly, scrawny donkey I have, and they get to compare me to him. And it really learns me. And if that horse wasn't out there, they'd see how fine a donkey I am. And I want you to run him out. Well, that's the best way for you to remember what's going on when people get envious of you and jealous of you and start fighting you because you're trying to serve God. Just remember, they're nothing but a bunch of kicking, waiting, bobbing, and donkeys.
Amen.
You'll remember something else. And that is that they can't kick you unless you're in front. And when folks start kicking you, just remember you out front or they couldn't kick you.
Amen.
My friend, just remember, when they start flopping their ears and kicking and praying, you show them up. And they're trying to get you out of the meadow. They're trying to get you to quit. They're trying to discourage you. They're trying to run you off. They're trying to rid you their sense of you being there because it shows up how little and how old can they are. And you let somebody get blessed of God in the church and start taking the lead in the church and start really doing things in the church, and the old kicking, brain, and popping, and knocking, so and the reason they're doing it is trying to discourage you so you won't show them up.
Yeah.
As long as nobody else is doing anything, but it don't show up how sorry you are.
Yeah.
But
amen.
When somebody gets to doing something for God, moving out for God and honoring God, then the donkeys start kicking in the way. So if you remember that little head here as you go along through your life, and there ain't no blame in kicking, pretty good sign you're dead.
Yes, amen.
But a good sign you nowhere. But a good sign you're doing nothing.
Yeah, amen.
Now let's go back and pick up the story. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, get up and go into the country that I'll show you. Take your families in your hands." Abraham gets up one day, gathers in his family, gathers in church, and we will travel. "Where to? I'm gone. The Lord just said, get going. I'm going. And they would say, you heard about a boy? He's lost his mind. He's lost his mind. He's pulled up all of his herd and his, all of this providence. Spanish. He just headed out. He don't even know where he's going. Old man. Got up so much relief, he's got so upset he don't know where he is.
Yeah.
He lost his mind over it. Where are you going, baby?
Oh, no.
Just going to where God said he
said.
In the pitiful of the labor, he lost his mind. In the tragedy. But on he goes. And after a while, he finds a place, and God said, here it is. Stop right here. Old Abram got out and built an altar and worshiped God and honored God and set up there and dug in some wells for what had spent in his cattle, and they became blessed. And his nephew by the name of Lot had gone along with Abram, and he had a lot of herds and cattle, herdmen, and so on. And as a result, the scripture tells us in the 13th chapter of Genesis that Lot's herdmen and Abram's herdmen stirred up a strife. The strife among the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham. In other words, they got to push it. They stirred up some division and some strife. And they're attacking buses over who's going to graze where and who's going to walk where. Abraham called in his nephew and said, look, Lot, we're brethren. We're Christian, so to speak, what we call it. He said, we're brethren. Lust don't be fussing. Lust don't have a bunch of fussing and strife going on here. Let's get over that. I tell you what, Lot, you take what you want. The whole world's out here in front of us, and I'll take what's left. Come on, Lot, make a decision. Well, Lot was young and all excited, and he looked around and he thought, well, there's the hills. Down there on the plains of Jordan, look at that good tender grass. Look at that river running through there. Uncle Abel's done got it made anyhow. He's a rich old man. He don't have to make no more. I'm just getting started out with my family, and I may will. Let's go down here. He said, all right, Abraham, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the plains of Jordan and carry my herd and my herdmen and my family that direction. See what he did when he went down there? He got all the water country. He got all the grass country. And left Uncle Abraham with just old dry hills and no water. Now let me tell you something. He took advantage of Abraham. And it is sinful and wicked to steal and cheat and take advantage of the millionaires and his performance.
Right.
It's not who you take advantage of, it's the principle of what underlies in you that makes you this. So as a result, he thought, well, Abraham's got it made. I'll make it now. Now if he wasn't done what was right, he said, Uncle Abram, since you're so nice about it, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll cut off a little place here and let you, your herd, and your herdmen go down there and dig water out of the river and eat some of that tender grass and rings back up the hills. And then I'll take this other part over here, take a little of the hills up here and we'll divide it up. No, he wasn't worried about Abraham's and his herd. They could starve there as far as he's concerned. I'm going to get it while I get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it made now. I'm going to be rich. Well, Uncle Abram didn't throw a fit. He didn't get mad. Lot Luther took his cattle, his herds, and his herdmen, headed down there and took his family, moved into the plains of Jordan where all the grass was and where all the water was. He said, boy, we've got it made now. Uncle Abram didn't throw a fit and say, you young strike to you dirty cheating. You took advantage because I give you 10. No, he didn't. He said, no. And he got all moved down there. Abram went back out to the altar and got out and worshiped God.
Amen.
God said, get now, Abraham.
Get now.
Look eastward, westward, northward, southward. Everything that you see, I'm going to give it to you.
Amen.
I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to bless those that bless your descendants, and curse those that curse your descendants.
Right.
He made a covenant with Abraham that's as true tonight as it was the day God spoke. So as a result, he said, I'll just bless you and bless your descendants, and bless those that bless you, and curse those that curse you and your descendants. God never has broken that promise. He still holds that covenant he made with Abraham. Do you know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, why America is blessed as we are blessed? It's because we showed respect to the Jews, both the grafted and the ingrafted, if you please. My friends, what I mean by that, the natural descendant of Abraham has always been respected and honored in this country, and the ingrafted, which is the born-again Christian, that makes us the descendants of Abraham, so to speak. As a result of it, my friends, God blessed America like no other nation's ever been blessed. God's blessed this country like no other country's ever been blessed. As a result of it, we have bountiful supplies of food and of wealth and shelters and clothes and everything else that the other nations of the world's never had. And every nation that's jumped on this nation has been cursed by it. So, my friends, did you know the reason tonight you're living in abundance in this country and being blessed with the freedoms and the blessings and the possessions of this country is because that this country, America, has had respect for the Jews and the descendants of Abraham, both the natural and the ingrafted, which means we've respected Christian people and Christian leadership and respected the churches of this country. And that's the reason God's blessed us. We've shown respect to the church and to God's preachers and to God's saints and to the descendants of Abraham. And God has blessed us bountifully. And as a result, old Abraham died from that, went out and digged the wells and found plenty of water. He watered his cattle. He watered his family. He had all the grass come up there and he needed to take care of his cattle. None of his cattle starved to death. He had rain, and as a result, we go now look back over Mr. Lot for a little while, and we see Lot as he moved down there in the midst of well, where the grass was, where the water was, where the advantage was, moved his family there, but he fixed his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And the men in Sodom and Gomorrah were exceeding sinful and exceeding wickedly. And as a result, as he moved them in there, he took up the habits.
Yeah. Amen.
And his family took up the habits of the Sodomites and Gomorrahites. They no longer had altars of prayer. They had dances and feasts and drinking and frolicking and sex and everything else. They left the altars out. I can imagine when they first got down there, the mayor of Sodom and the mayor of Gomorrah said he'd be the gritty industry. All of Lot and his husbands have moved in and they gave us the divorce. And we're going to celebrate. They declared a celebration. They fixed parties. They have served all kind of drinks and dancing. And Lot's family has been brought up around the altars of Abraham. No doubt those girls and Lot had calluses on the knees from kneeling so much. But they've never been dancing and their feet weren't simple. Down there. And they started the dancing with the sons of the mayors of the two cities and the city slickers. They're so open, they didn't know how to shield their feet and sit. Embarrassed old Mrs. Lot to death. And she said, honey, let's take them home. I'm embarrassed because they don't give to the boys when they're dancing with them. They're so awkward, it's embarrassing to me. Let's go home. She calls the school of dancing and teaches how to teach her daughters how to dance. And they'll be so civil and dignified the next day. When she gets through with them, they can go back to the next party and dance and know how to yield their bodies to the men as they dance with them. And so as a result, they go back in there as dancers and prancers, not prayers, or musicians, but dancers and drinkers, and to take up the habits of the crowd down that Sodom and Gomorrah, and lift God out of the picture completely. Some time ago, a woman come up to me and said, Preacher, what do you think about me I let my little daughter go to the tap dancing school. Teacher tap dancing, I think it's a good way to let your daughter find out how to take her healing, take the trap door hell before we end.
That's right. Amen.
She said, oh, the teacher's going to care her body so gracefully. I said, I don't have a daughter, but if I had one, I'd rather she'd wallow up the hill before the head and let the grave and paint off it. Yeah. There he is, sir. All they've done about is the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. They've done that, pitching their bodies one after another, and the cattle's multiplied, the herdsmen's living it up, the wives of Lot and the daughters. And they've bagged some of those city slickers, and they've all left God out.
Yeah.
Now you listen to me. You remember there was a time when they went to old Baal and said, put a curse upon the children of Israel. Baal said, I can't curse them. That which God has blessed, you can't curse.
Amen.
And it said, we'll give you so much silver. He said, if you give me that house full of silver, I still couldn't curse them. Because what God has anointed and God has blessed, you can't curse.
Yes.
But he said, I'll tell you, King, what you can do. You can move in a bunch of immoral people down there and get them to live in that with those Israelites, and they'll take up their habits, and then God will destroy them.
Yes.
Because they got away from God. So as a result, the king got a bunch of naked women and moved them in down there, went along to the Sodomite, until this city was destroyed by the wrath of God because they took up the habits of the world. And this is exactly what's going to happen. Here's Lot's family. He'd been brought up with Abraham, taught God, preached and everything about God, and his family knew about God. But now they moved down here with the Sodomites and Gomorrahites, and they're sinful and wicked and hellish. And as a result, Lot and his family, he has heard and take up the habits and the social life of the Sodomites and Gomorrahites. And they begin to dance with them, to drink with them, to commit sex acts with them, and so on. And they really got the cattle growing. They really got the herd all fixed, and they really live. What a time we had. We don't have to go to church anymore. We don't have to listen to Abraham anymore. We don't have to pray anymore. We got ready. Mm-hmm. Now they really living up. Ah, what a time is that. Cattle on the back, the grass growing, the herdmen happy, flocks fan all excited. Indulging, we don't have to pray no more, go to the altar no more, worship God no more. We're just living it up. And all of a sudden, our post door sent me a couple of messengers from God. God's got enough of you. He sent us down here to tell you, if you want your family out here, you better get them out in the morning. God's going to send brimstone, pour down here and burn this whole mess up. Your herdmen, then your family's left, and that's going to burn them up. And he's going to burn this whole business up. And Lot runs in, runs over to one daughter's house there, partying, and tries to get them to get up and get out of there. They make fun of him. He goes over to another daughter's house, and they're dancing and they're drinking. And tells them about it, and they laugh at him. And he insists they get out of the scripture said they led old Lot to the gate and put him out and said, leave us alone. And the next morning, he tells his wife that night about all of that. But the next morning, his wife wouldn't believe what God's messengers have said.
Right.
And as a result, you know the story. As a result, the next morning, Lot got up, said, we better get out of here, folks. Come on! His children laughed at it, his grandchildren laughed at it, the in-laws laughed at it, the herdsmen laughed at it, his wife was at it, and all of them didn't believe it. But old Lot started out, his wife just spoke of God, and great God loved him, but it was funny. I wonder if there's any smoke coming up here. She came back. She went to Pepper Song. Old Lot kept being down before he got to the top of the hill. He could smell the burning flesh of his children, his grandchildren. He could smell the burning flesh of the herd and the husbands. He dared not look back. He got out of these in such a shape, he shook up till he got drunk and committed adultery with his two daughters. Gave birth to two of the wickedest generations ever cursed in society, the Moabites and Amorites. Took 10 generations to clear that mess up. Why? My friends, all because he left God and he get angry and start fussing in the church. Start confusion in the church. And a lot of them get mad and get their banners out and go out into the world, to the beaches and the mountains and the picnics and family. Just don't go back up that narrow chimney. It's not the, that preacher, get preached right up, just well, the red army now. Everybody is preaching. Let's don't go back no more. Let's take our banners and go picnic and beach and mountain and family reunions. Come on. Let's get it home and look at the television. Just let them know. And while you're out there, before your family's going to take up and have it some more crowd you'll run with, and the whole bunch is facing straight hell. Now, remember one thing, you can go so far from God that God will hear the saints' prayers for you.
Right.
You see, when God told Abraham what his face would do, Abraham got out and prevailed for Lot. And that's one time God wouldn't hear Abraham. Abraham said, if I find some righteous, said, yes, 50, yes, 40, yes, 30, yes, 5 and 20, yes, 10, yes. But he couldn't even find 10. And old Abel had to stand there and watch the smoke go up and Sodom and Gomorrah burn up because God wouldn't hear his prayer. I want to tell you, you can take out on your church and the vows you made to God, the covenant you made with God, and you united the church, and run off of your families and pitch them down there in the devil's crowd and society.
Yes.
And the word of God Almighty will put a curse on you and damn your family and burn most of them in hell. And all the prayer of the Christian people in the world can't pray off of you in God's time.
Yes.
That saint just don't pray run off down there. Do not go away and have to stay with God and build your own to teach your family to worship God for this thing.
Amen.
And I want you to see, my friends, the Sodomites were nothing but a bunch of modern day homosexuals. You want the proof of it? Look, that night when the angels, the message of God got on that, they noted these two messengers, the men and the boys of the street were a homosexual crowd. They demanded the men. Lot said, I'll give you my two daughters. Imagine that they didn't want women. They wanted men because they had the men because of that sin. And as a result, they tried to break in. And God gave those messengers power to make them glad and stagger out in the streets. But the thing I want you to know is that the Dead Sea's back today where Sodom and Gomorrah used to stand, nothing lives in that water. Rivers flow into it that are fresh waters. Some of the purest water on the face of the earth from the mountains of Lebanon flow in there, and it becomes dead water. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea, and the rising or the falling of the level of that sea never takes place. It stays at the same level year-round. Nothing lives in it. Nothing lives around it. And God said in the book of Peter that he left it as an example and a warning for those who should live godly afterward. And you go out and leave God out and take out on your church and violate the vows you made and the oath you took when you united with God's church and take your family away from God's church and head out with the dancing, drinking, cussing, Sabbath desecrators, beach scores, and now the Lord has family, you paid me proud to leave God out, leave the church out. I've got news for you, buddy. Before God Almighty tonight, I'll tell you that God's fixing to damn some of your family in hell and give you a terrible experience of ceremony.
Amen.
I want you to know that tonight.
Right,
on the other hand, Abraham was blessed and his descendants are blessed. And my friends, all the time a lot of little confusions making folks take out on God like Lot did. I never saw a Baptist church blow up by anything big.
Right. Amen.
But I've seen a lot of them stay right over some little old man.
Amen.
I remember old Parkville, Arkansas. I was over there in a meeting, found out they hadn't had a soul saved in 9 years. Hadn't baptized nobody. I said, something wrong. I got the preacher digging around, and I finally found out what's wrong. You know what's wrong? The church split 9 years before that over an old hen, an old chicken getting the wind blow. One woman raised flowers for the market. The other woman raised chickens. This woman's chicken get over scratch up this woman's flowers. She went over and asked her to keep her chickens at home. Build a pen for them. Said, I'm not going to that expense. I'm not even. So the woman raises flowers when I'm getting her chain link than 6 feet high around the barn. Some little chickens would scratch him up. One day, one of those hens flew over that tall fence and scratched up the barn. She went home and said, listen, when the other woman's home said, would you be kind enough and cooperative enough to clip the end of the feathers on the wing of your hen? She can't find if you'll clip the feathers off of one wing, which is true. And said that keep them flying over. Said, now I went to the expense of building the thing. I think you ought to cooperate enough to clip the feathers on that old hen wing. I'll not do it. I've sat and taken forever the looks and appearance of my hen and stood up there. Now I'm not coming up. Well, they rolled by, they were two. She flew over and scratched up the woman's flowers again. She went out with some cloth, picked up a hard clod of dirt, and threw it to the old hen to scare it out of her flower garden. Hit the old hen on the wing and broke it. That old hen went home flopping that broke wing and squawked. Woman and daughter run out of the house. And those two women met in the street and had a handful of cussing fight over the and about 50% of the church was kinfolks on each side. Spread the church right down the middle. Oh, that old hen getting a wing broke. And they still a fussing and a cussing and a complaining and feuding. Oh, that old hen. 9 years, souls are dying and going to hell by the crowd for 9 years.
Amen.
In order for two people to hold a grudge about an old hen. I was up there in the state of Kentucky. They invited me to come up there and conduct a revival meeting. I went up there to conduct a meeting. They didn't have no church house, no church in Franklin Felton. And as I went up there to conduct that meeting, here it was. There they were. Needing church real bad. Had a great meeting. One man got up there and gave $2,500. Another set up building and did $1,500. We'll bring our boys and have work and do the work for you. They built one of the prettiest churches you ever saw out in the country. 15 Sunday school rooms in it. Got that done, it's paid for. These men took their sons and worked along beside each other all during that time. Then they built a beautiful pastorum out on the hill and paid for it. That's the happiest bunch of people I think I ever knew. But not long after that, these two men that was leaders in the church and gave them all their time and worked their sons fell out over 2 foot of property. What? One of them said the line runs right there. Not so, it runs right here. Not so, it runs right there. Just 2 feet. Not a place big enough to bury me. Just 2 foot of property. They got in a funeral. No longer they bust them out of the night. Finally, one jumped in his car and went to the house and got his shotgun and come down and shot the other. Killed him there on the spot. And there wasn't enough property to lay him out on. Wasn't enough property to bury him on. As a result, he left his wife and 5 children. They sent the other fellow to the penitentiary for life for first degree murder. Left his wife and 11 children without support. And left a family feud in that church that's kept it split ever since. What horror? Over 2 feet. Not enough to bury either one. If one of them had been like Abraham, said, look, we're brethren in the church. I'll tell you what to do. Since you say it goes there, take you 2 more feet. That's at least been 4 foot enough to bury me. No, sir. They wrecked the church, disgraced themselves, and defeated their futures.
Amen.
By building and fussing over 2 foot of ground. 2 foot of ground. You say that's fair. But some of you got your feelings hurt and went home and quit over less than 2 feet of ground.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And you won't get over it. You trouble your family red and dying go to hell and confess that you just wouldn't be like that. That's the whole business tonight. You got folks in this church and other church got their little feelings hurt and they took their families out and quit church and running somewhere else and trying to send sending their children to wreckage and hell rather than confess that they're wrong. makes me straight a little bit. Want to drive you straight a little bit. Bless God, it ain't worth wrecking your man and saying hell over him.
Amen.
But there it is. I never have understood preaching. Ron Simpson, if you ever figure this out, you tell me words with it. Two men will get in a fight over politics and just beat each other up and cuss each other. And 3 months afterward, they run around and run, looping around, eating with each other and fellowship with each other. Get mad over a business deal, and they'll just have a real fist fight and fuss, and threaten to kill each other and everything else in less than 3 months' time. They're fellowshipping together, running around together, again, have some social disorder, family affair, and they get mad at each other and just fuss and cuss and rant and threaten to kill each other, but a few weeks they're back together eating again. But you let somebody get mad in the church, and they won't ever, as long as they live, get over it. They'll have a feud as long as they live.
Amen.
I can't think of that. They get over everything else except they just, the devil got them, and he still got them, and he's going to keep them. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
But my friends, a lot of people took out on God because somebody didn't go shoot them at the church. They call me, they didn't call me a saint, they didn't notice me. And they're going to go back, we're called family, we're going to the beach and the mountains, we're going to the donkey talks and dances, we're going to the family and let that church and that preacher on. What do we care? You're going to take them out of that and the same thing going to happen. They haven't happened to lots of family, they're going to let them go to hell most of them. And you're waiting for them. Abram said, look here, Mark. Look here, son. We're laughing. We're not going to fuss. You take what you want. I'll take what's left. And God bless Abraham and bless him with wells of water and bless his descendants and old Isaac. When he come along, God bless him. He multiplied. Notice what he said there. He was increased with, and the man waxed great. The Lord blessed him 100-fold, and he went far and grew until he became very great, had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the felicity ended him. And he said, now then, we better not fool with him and descend to Abraham. We'll tell you what he'll do. We'll fill up his swear. He can't get no water. He's got to move. So as a result, they went out there, the Philistines did, and dug up some earth and filled up the wells with earth. And said, now, I think you and your folks can move. Ain't nothing wrong. But old Isaac had better sense than that. He couldn't get hoodwinked into that. He just called his servant and said, that's no problem. Let's clean the wells.
Amen.
They went out there and cleaned out the wells, and water's still in there. Yeah. Wasn't nothing wrong with the water. What does the law of the wells is what the Philistines had put in there.
Yeah.
And when they got the dirt the Philistines put in there cleaned out, they still had water.
Amen.
Now here's the truth I want to get over to you, my brother, my sister tonight, and my preacher friends tonight. They stopped these wells that God's people might move out. Now you hear this preacher. In America tonight, God has blessed America because of the wells of the churches. He's blessed this country because of the preaching word, because of the teaching word, and the singing word of the churches. The thing that's made America great is the churches. The thing that God has blessed America for is because they're the descendants of Abraham, natural Jew and engrafted Jew, which is the born again Christian.
Right.
And as a result, the communist and the modernist and the atheist and the agnostic have seen how God has blessed this country, and they're envious of us, and they're jealous of us, and they set out to fill up our worlds to get rid of us.
Amen.
My friends, they can't take us as long as we got strong churches in America.
Amen.
They mess up our government, they mess up our society, they can mess up a lot of things, but they become awakened to the fact that they can't destroy us as long as we've got strong churches in America. Now, our forefathers built the warehouse of the churches in our midst. And I want you to know, my friends, the devil's crowd is envious of you, and the communists, and the atheists, and the agnostics, and the infidels and skeptics are envious of us because God's blessed us, and because God's blessed your home and blessed your community. So as a result, they sit down. They're outliving us. God's blessing them more than he is us. They're outdoing us. And they're in the lead. And we've got to do something to fill up their wells so they can't have churches. So they can't have preaching. So they can't have born-again people. We've got to drive up spiritually. We've got to drive their wells. So as a result, they set out to do it.
Amen. Right, right.
And my friends, there wasn't anything wrong with the wells of Abraham. They took a volition and put a bunch of dirt in them. As soon as they got them cleaned out, they still all right. You hear this preacher tonight. There's nothing wrong with the churches. It's what the devil's put in there.
Yeah.
What the dirty devil's not put in a church. The church is still, the New Testament church is still the truth of God. Still the bill of truth, still the place God meets with us. But they want to fill our churches full of things of the world.
Amen.
They illustrate what I'm trying to say. I was up out from Benton, Kentucky, a place called Vanderbilt School. They wanted to start a church. Back when I was helping build churches. And I went out there to the school. I was gracious enough to let us use the old schoolhouse, just a one-room schoolhouse, about half. Well, just about big that one, back this way. But they told me great in there. Our old country, one-teacher schoolhouse. And they had a well outside, just a big old three-foot well. And the school teacher come every day and put some water in a 5 gallon can, cooler, put a chunk of ice in there, then the children would go and get this, push a little spigot, get water to drink. So I was there to meet. And one night while I was there, going on, some daddy's boys got out there and chucked that well full of cardboard. Buckets, rocks, and things like that. Anything they could find, anything they could look that way. Next morning, the school teacher brought her 25 pounds of ice and put it in the tin can, the cool can. Went out and let the bucket down the well and get some water to pour on the ice. And she couldn't get no water. She thought that's a well cold dry. She went to her car, got her flashlight, looked down in there, and the well was about a third full of cordwood and chunks and rocks and buckets and pans, filled up above the level of the water. She called the trustees of the school. They looked the situation over, they called for a well digger. They tied a stick in the end of a rope, they straddled a rope, they laid it down in there. Tied that old cordwood and stuff around that rope and threw it out, till they got it all drawn out of the well. But the water that was down in the bottom of the well was making all out real good, drew him out. In a little while, she'd go out there and let the bucket down and then get water. Wasn't nothing wrong with the well. It just got filled up with a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
And so, my friends, when it got the well cleaned out, then there's plenty of water, and everybody could get a drink. Now, the thing of it is, the devil's come around and put a bunch of chunks in our churches, and a bunch of chunks in your lives.
Yeah.
You've got salvation. You got the water. When the devil fills you up with a bunch of junk to where you can't draw none out.
Amen.
He said over the book of Isaiah, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation.
Amen.
And so, my friends, you can't get no water because the devil put some in your well.
Amen.
And filled up your well. And I want you to know that the enemy, the communists, the modernists, the atheists, the agnostics, the devil's crowd is trying to fill up your wells and my well and the church well where we can't get no water because you know folks will move out and leave us if they don't get anything.
Amen.
They've got sense enough to know they can't survive without water. And so as a result, they're trying to fill up our wells. And the devil will fill your well up in a hurry.
Amen.
And that's what the militia is wearing this Well, this is filling up a lot of Christians' wells.
Amen.
My friends, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of the Lord.
Amen.
The two don't go together. And so our churches are getting filled up with worldliness.
Amen.
We get more concerned about a social gospel and an entertainment that our Baptist church than we are about the power of God.
Amen.
All over this country now, we're putting on all kinds of social activities and entertainment sprees.
Yeah.
And we're going out and trying to get folks to come in, to excite people to come in. So they go out here and get some great athlete from some place that was one of the famous athletes. He'll come in here, talk about what a great Christian is and how much he believes in God. That low down backslider will go out the next Sunday and play ball.
Yeah.
He's a very low down hypocrite. He ain't fit to run with a bunch of goats, much less a
bunch
of goats. I'll get in as quick as I can. I want you to know one thing, my friends. We're reaching out and trying to find some people. The scripture said when it was Noah's brought, the Lord was in the house.
Yes.
The multitude came. Now we've got Mr. So-and-so in the house, the ball player, the movie star, or a great singer, something's coming out just, and folks are flooded. But we need to get back with it, get excited about coming to the Lord. That's what I'm saying here. Yeah. There'll be a change when they leave out. There's some will take place when they leave out. And I want you to know our churches are becoming entertainers to worldliness and entertainment.
Yeah.
And folks have the harm to come to church giving bubble gum and ice cream, cold water, that's it. Hamburgers are going on the seat.
Yeah.
And gavels out up and everything else. And when you break that, well, they got more God than a bit ago.
Yeah.
I swear to face the truth tonight, Bible. We're filling our churches the wells of spirituality, the wells of the power of God with a bunch of worldliness.
Yeah.
And as a result, my friend, they're fixing to steal our churches away from us.
Yeah.
They're fixing to destroy our churches and Christianity in America, the devil's ground jack.
Yeah.
Not only that, but they've come up with all sorts of religions now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're religious in religion. We live in the most religious age of ever been.
Right.
Every kind of religion, the moon crowd, and the children of God crowd,
yeah,
the Jesus movement crowd, and the deeper life crowd,
amen,
and the new life crowd, and the tongue crowd,
yes, amen,
and Jews for Jesus crowd. We got all sorts of fads of religion sweeping this country.
Amen.
My friends, all sorts of fads of religion.
Right. Amen.
You say, what do you mean fads? Well, that's all they are, just fads of religion.
Amen.
That's all. The cults of Jehovah's Witness and all that mess, just fads, that's all.
Amen.
What do you mean by a fad, preacher? Here's what I mean. You know what a fad is, don't you? Something that flourishes a while, then it comes out.
Yeah. Amen.
For example, you remember when everybody, grandma and grandpa and everybody down below, in between the world, was who living?
Amen.
Where's the hula hoops? Come. That's a fact. You remember when everybody was a yo-yo? Where's the yo-yo?
Yeah.
Come. Man. You hear this Baptist preacher? You're not listening to some little noise just starting. You listen to old man been across America for 40 years in the night. I've seen all this bad religion. I've seen this tongue movement flourish in a community and everybody get caught in it, and in 10 years you can't find it.
Right.
You'd have to have the FBI find you if you win spell when you find it.
Yeah.
That stuff for the last 10 years. Your Jesus movement's done blow down.
Amen.
The children of God movement's done blow down.
Yep, I
moon movement's flourishing now. In some
right.
And all this deeper life stuff. My friends, that's not in the Word of God. God was talking about the deeper life. It don't need your deeper life in the Word of God for your information.
Amen.
Right.
Said
amen.
Out of the Bible.
Amen.
Now you can't go no deeper than the foundation, do you? Blow up.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
My friends, he didn't say go deeper. He said train out. He said draw the water out of the wells of salvation.
Amen.
So my friends, you hear this preaching. If you ever been saved, God put a well in you. He that drinketh of this water shall become a well of water bubbling up into everlasting life. Bless God, when you got saved, he put the well in you.
Amen.
It's built in there. Bubbling up. So if you're not getting any water, it's causing the devil to spill something up.
Yeah.
Since he put it in
there. Yeah.
You don't need to go no deeper. What you need is get your well cleaned up. You're not out here trying to get a deeper life. Got all these fellows going over the country preaching the deeper life. The church is revenue no more. Just come out to our Bible conferences and bring your Bible. We'll comply the altar. Bring it on from you. We'll study the fight in the Lord. And it gets deeper in the life. First thing you know, it gets deeper in off of some man's wife.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You now to preach it tonight. You now listen to some of the Lord. You listen to the man knows where he's been, where he's going.
Amen.
My friends, talk about a new life area. Listen, Jesus said when he saved you, he made a new creature of it.
Amen.
And if you have to have a new life, bless God, why don't you come out and call it salvation is what you
need. Amen.
Instead of trying to make some poker out of it.
Amen.
I want you to know, my friends, all of this tongue movement and so on is swept across the country. I've seen it first and blow out.
Amen.
You know where it's starting? Talk about it.
Right.
You know
right.
How come it started? God planned for the foundation of the world when we stayed last through Jesus Christ. Well, God's planned for the foundation of the world. What a bunch of smart sinners got
there.
They said, that's what it was. We don't go the way Jesus way. What happened is we climb up this tower and just walk over again on God. And when they got it started, God touched all their tongues and they went to chatter. King James couldn't understand what each other said. They quit building. Soon they disbanded. They couldn't understand each other. They get all those tongue talkers together, and it won't be long till the church will blow up and disband because they can't understand what each other's doing.
Amen.
And the book of James said, well, if there's confusion and division and strife, this is earthly and sensual and it's devilish.
Amen.
If you'll never get a tongue starting in the church, my friends, it don't bring confusion and division and strife. And the Word of God said it's earthly and sensual and devilish, and that's what it said, and that's what it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know one thing. You go out here, if you please, looking for the Holy Ghost, looking for some kind of big spirit, the devil will give you one, and it'll be a real ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, my friend, just like it is, I've seen that stuff come and go, but you had to get in a church that's confusion and division and strife, wherever it gets, you can't deny. God said that's earthly and devilish and sensual. I tell us in the book of the 16th chapter of John, said when the Holy Ghost will come, he'll not speak of himself or of his gift, but he'll speak of the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you folks hear folks running around saying, I've got the Holy Ghost, I can talk tongues, they've got a ghost on life, but it ain't the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll have you talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of gifts and trouble.
Yeah.
I want you to know that tonight. Won't you understand that tonight? I'm not being unkind to preaching the truth. And it'll stand when hell's on
fire.
Tell yourself, my friend, tonight, I know what I'm talking about. What you need is not some tongue Japanese bed. If you're not right and you're not enjoying your religion, you don't need tongues. You need to get your well. Hell's not just a bunch of junk in your well. You don't need a deeper life. You don't need a tongue movement. Bless God, you need a well cleaned for
him. Amen.
You get your well cleaned out, then you behave yourself. You will draw the Spirit of God out and flow out of you like the river.
Yes, amen.
Not only that, my friends, but the passage and the styles of the day has my beloved filled up our wells.
Yes.
You can't be spiritual running around here with shorts and halters on. With many skirts on, you can't be spared. You're trying to expose your sex to this instead of your godliness.
Amen.
He said, let the women be dressed in modest apparel, and you can't do it running around here dressed in the fashions of the day. They sent fashions to this country to fill up your wells.
Amen.
And loving it, oh, you're saved. You still got salvation, but you stay with the fashions and styles so long, your wells fill up, you're not enjoying being a Christian.
Amen.
You're as miserable and as dry as the dry dust on your feet.
Amen.
So you're not needing some other expression. You need your well cleaned out.
Amen.
He says, I want the men everywhere, the men of them hold hands and pray.
Right.
And if you're having pornography books, run around hammering a bunch of sex magazines and run around hammering the beer bottles and the cussing stuff of sin, you can't hold up on the hands and pray. My friends, there's nothing wrong with the world. You've got the wrong stuff in your hands. So hold your head. Get clean hands as if come up and draw water out of your way.
Amen.
That was done to fill our wells. That's what's the matter with us. Trying to get our churches out of this. Trying to get our preachers out of this. He's filling up our well. I want you to realize, my friends, before God, if this act and death of Abraham, they fill the well on Isaac. But where? Isaac had strength enough to dig him out, and bless God, he still had water.
Amen.
What you need? It's not some new fashion, some new fashion religion, some kind of a tongue or something else. What you need is a simple well of clean.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Listen to me. 51st Psalm. David said, Lord, I confess my sin. Ever before. Create in me a clean heart. What's he saying? Clean my will up.
Amen.
Bring in the right spirit in me. What is it? Create a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. What's wrong? He's full of stuff, but it's the wrong stuff he's full of. Clean out my will! Get the wrong spirit out of it! Put the right spirit back in it.
Amen.
Then restore to me the joy of what? My PhD, not mine, it's God's.
Amen.
Of thy salvation.
Amen.
Give me the joy of thy salvation, then I'll teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted.
Amen.
What? When you get the heart cleaned out, get the right spirit back in there, and give me the joy of thy salvation. Let me get back down to the well where the salvation is, then I'll teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall get converted.
Amen.
Amen.
What do you mean, for example? You remember when you first got saved, you was bubbling along?
Yeah.
You had to tell it to somebody you could push by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You had to tell it to some friend, some lover, or somebody, when you first got saved, you just had to share. You couldn't stand it without sharing. Where's that feeling now? Has God changed? Has your salvation changed? No, whatever God does, it's forever. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything from it. And so, my friend, all it is, you just go around the devil's still doing well. Salvation's still in there. The will's still in there. But you're not enjoying it because, my friend, you can't get it out for the stuff the devil's put in there.
Amen.
Let me give you an illustration. I was in the city of Eden. Power of God was there, a little girl, beautiful little girl. Got Lois to save. Went home and talked to her daddy, who was the chief of the police in the city. He laughed at her. She got up the next morning, begged to come to church. He said, oh, I ain't got time to fool the church. She went and lay down across the door, the threshold of the door, and said, Daddy, you're going to probably come to church or step over my body. Going to work. He cursed and said, that's no problem. I'm going to step over your body. He did. He went to work. God used it to get him under conviction. He drove downtown and he said he could see his little girl falling on a car being dragged around. When he went to the post office, opened the mailbox, he could feel like he put his little girl out instead of left. When he opened his letters in the office, he'd feel like he opened up and tugged his girl out. She didn't tell us that next morning. She's back in church all going over being saved the night before. Pretty good crowd in there. I stepped up here with a preacher and he said, person, you see the young man back down in the corner? described us in your canoe. Said that's the worst criminal in this city. I don't understand why he's here this morning. Said, you see the red-headed girl back over the other corner? I said, yes. Said, she's running with one of the vilest houses of prostitution and woman in the city. I don't know why she's here. Said, be the one of the worst things they can shake this whole town. I said, well, preacher, pray for all the earnestness you got, and I'll preach and pray, and you pray while I preach, and God will save them. I jumped in the pulpit and went to preach with all the prayer of my soul. Pray God, save that man. Save that woman. I was right in the heat of the message. And there's a couple of just an hour down the center, the benches went on each side and spin around on the double door. I saw the chief of police car. Of course, I knew nothing about what was going on, you see. She hadn't told us that. See, chief of police drove up chief's car. He jumped out of the car and he run in that door and started running down that big wide aisle. Those brass buttons shining, that cap on that gun and club on his hip. It's like he's going to run and grab me out of the pulpit. I thought it was a mean thing I'd ever done. Got near the front, he said, Mr. A! I said, chief, take over. It's your job. Walked down there and took his cap off and popped it on the bench. Said, folks, y'all know me. I'm chief of the city. I saved 8 years ago. When I got away from God. I got carried away from God. He told about the experience he had with the true girl. He said, I want y'all to pray me on me right about this woman. He dropped on those knees and bowed his head, and God forgave him and cleaned him up. He got upset, God forgive me and cleaned up. All the church forgive me. When it did, said, we'll forgive you. Then he ran back there and got on his knees in front of that boy. Said, you're a criminal because I let you get back because I took your parents' money. They as well and paid me not put you in jail. I'm the way if you get a criminal forgive me, I want you to be saved. Before you left, the boy got saved. Went across and took that girl in the hand, got out on his feet and said, young lady, I loved you, your virtue. I'm the first man that ever earned you. I couldn't have done that had my own brass buttons if you know it. And I know it. I know what you'll never forgive you enough. I know the town knows you're running the house of prostitution. But I want you to know that right of God. I want you to forgive me. And if you can't, I want you to accept me. God saved her. When he got through that morning, there's 19 grown people walked the house for God because he went back down. What was it? He got the well cleaned out and the river got to run in. He taught transgressors and the sinners the ways and got it and got converted. When you get your well cleaned out, not the Holy Ghost or not some other kind of a mess of religion, when you get your well cleaned out, the waters will flow out of there. Jesus said, I'll release your full river. Amen. You don't need to be blind. You don't need to tumble. You don't need some miraculous experience. That's not what you need. Get your well cleaned out. And when you get your well cleaned out, you'll tell the sinners and they'll get saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's the whole story. Let's look at it. My friends, sin. Charles T. Pickett done wells all over this country. When an old man come through, walk in a restaurant, cooks, the waiters and the people follow the conviction, you see. When I went down to the factory, it had to close the factory. So then the people follow the conviction. When they came to town, the house of prostitution came to the houses closed up because the power of God flowed out in you like a mighty river. When old he came through, it was the same thing. When old Jonathan Edwards stood up and preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, people grabbed their back to benches and cried for mercy. That's the preacher. God saved them. Old Mordecai Ham went through your state years ago and preached to every liquor joint in the state of North Carolina was closed, except up here at Salisbury. And he went in there and preached and prayed and wept before God till they closed the last legal place of liquor in this state. They had to put him in the trunk of a car and throw quilts over him, get him out, keep the liquor crowd and kill him. But he didn't stop until he closed the liquor joint. Now that our masters come along and patronize them, sympathize
them. Right. Amen.
And say they don't see no harm in drinking.
That's right.
All of that. Right. You see, the devil steal up the preacher's wells, devil steal up the teacher's wells, devil's filling up our churches with modernism and liberal teaching, compromising, pussy-pussy teaching, and as a result, he's a $5. My friend, they're building up our wealth, because listen, they've got our government, they've got our educational system, they've got our recreational system, they've got our literary system, they've got our artistic system. All the things the devil's got ain't got in America is New Testament churches still a preaching and a teaching and saying the truth of God. And my friend, they're trying to fill up our worlds and where we won't get nothing out to do anything with. God help us to see it tonight. The wells are in our hearts, but they fill our enemies by the modernists and by the liberals and by the critics and by the others. Our forefathers dug these wells with prayer and sacrifice on their knees and facing before God and prayed and fasted. And their lives were burned at the stake and put in jails. And they starved to death in the dungeons and they killed. You hear that the sons of two generations of the purest blood ever given in America has fallen in two wars trying to save America. And if we Baptists and we church people don't get our wells cleaned out and save America, we are traitors to the sons of America. We are traitors to our forefathers. We are traitors to the old preachers of yesterday. And the godly men and women that blazed the trail and cut out from the bush and they burned and starved and beat to death for the kingdom of God. The wells are here, but my friends, he said, God said in Isaiah, my people committed two evils. My people committed two evils. They forsaken the fountains of living water, hewed about cisterns, broken cisterns that hold the water. What's it mean? When you dig a well, you dig down until you find a live stream, and you always get water out of it. Drought, rain, and rain, you get water. But when you got a cistern, you have to put a gutter down to keep the house and a downspout. You dig a hole in the ground, boil it up with rock or brick or something fast. You run the water in there. It's like running in a jug. The jug cracking, the water seeps out. You dig these underground tanks called cisterns. Run water along the end of the house and up down in there, have a hole in and a truck was dumped in there. But if the walls of that cistern crack and all seeps out, you got no water. Just a hole in the ground. But my friends, it don't make a difference. If it don't rain, you don't have no water in your system. Got rain to get water. It's dependent on some other source for its water. But the well has got a living stream in it, depending on rain or catching water or holding water. It comes flowing through there all the time. And what we need to realize, we all need no more cistern water. Too long we Baptists are trying to catch somebody else's pole. And somebody else's way of running the church. And somebody else's way of putting it on. And we got a bunch of cisterns. And when they crack, when they don't get the thing to suit, crack their cistern, their water's all gone. Right. Don't like the preacher. Crack your cistern. Got my feelings hurt. Crack your cistern.
Amen.
Didn't drink me right. Crack your cistern. All these nuts out. But if you got the real thing, my friends, preach and all praise. And people treat you right or don't treat you right. The river runs in your house. You're not depending on somebody else's water wells to keep you going. If all you got is depending on somebody else to keep your water wells going, you're in foul shape. What you need is get your wells burning down to the God of God help us to see
that.
For as the Philistines done to your well, and it filled it up. Convert things with lust instead of love, with unforgiveness, with pride, with memory, with strife, with confusion. What's in your well, honey? Well, you enjoying it, Christian? God really blessing you? Or is your man all down there with the sunrise tomorrow night going to hell? You lost minutes. You lost the excitement of the church. You said, well, come on to your have all sat out some dancing and drinking and preaching and licking and picking and so on. Come on, children, let's go here. Come on. And they go there. Then he said, rejoice in the Lord. Now let me tell you something. You Baptists been saved. You quit running around your hump or something else.
Amen.
You don't need the Lord.